Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY23 earnings conference call of Pennard Industries Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning and very warm welcome to everyone. And thank you for being on a call of Pennard Industries Limited. We are happy to have with us the management of Pennard Industries for question and answer session with the investment community. The management is represented by Mr. Aditya Rao, Vice Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Srikanth Bakkar, Vice President Finance, Mr. J. Krishnaprasad, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Manoj, Head Corporate Affairs, and Mr. K. M. Sunil. Before we start with question and answer session, we'll have opening comments from the management. Now I hand over call to Mr. Aditya for opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Vikramji. Thank you, moderators. A warm welcome to all our stakeholders for our Q1 FY2023 financial results conference call. Thank you to all of you for taking the time to join us. We will follow our standard format for our conference calls, namely, I will first provide an overview of our financial results. I will specifically focus on profitability, liquidity, and growth as the metrics that we cover. This will be followed by commentary from our CFOs, Mr. Srikanth Bakkar and Mr. Krishnaprasad. Post that, we will open the conference call up for questions from our stakeholders. With that structure in mind, we'll get started, sirs. I will first cover profitability. For the first quarter FY 2023 ending June 2022, we recorded consolidated net sales of Rs. 699.98 crores, almost 700 crores. The corresponding quarter in the previous financial year saw record sales of Rs. 488.31 crores. This represents growth of 43.35%. Our PBT for Q1 was Rs. 18.74 crores, which compares with a PBT of 9.03 crores in the previous quarter, in Q1 last financial year, which is a growth of 107.53%. Our cash PAT, which is PAT plus depreciation, was Rs. 29.88 crores, and this compares with the cash PAT last year of 19.10 crores. Next, I will cover our liquidity or our working capital. We have reduced our working capital days from 80 days to 78 days. We also believe that further improvements are in line and will continue to work on these improvements. Our annualized ROS for the first quarter was at 17.07%, ROS being calculated as EBIT divided by total capital employed. Finally, we come to growth. Our BIW plant in Chennai has achieved sustainable cash profitability and will achieve its target profitability by October in this year. Our subsidiary in the U.S., SN Buildings, continues to grow on the back of a large order book, and we're confident of consistent improvements in our bottom line percent. Our PEB and hydraulics business units also are projecting substantial growth. Based on these growth vectors, the next quarter will again see double-digit growth in revenue and PBT when compared with our PBT for Q2 last financial year. Furthermore, we will be also expanding our capacities in PEB for India, solar modules capacity, and also engineering services. This will allow us to continue high growth rates in both our sales and PBT for the next few quarters. In conclusion, I would like to thank all of you again for your time on this call. As always, we'll continue to focus on sustainable revenue growth, profitability growth, liquidity, and capital efficiency. I look forward to answering any questions that you have for us. With this, I'll hand over the call to our CFOs, Srikanth K.P. Garu, for their comments.
Thanks, Ajita. Welcome to the shareholders of the first quarter FY23 earnings call. The key metrics is there has been an increase in terms of revenue by 43%, EBITDA by 40%. PBT has also actually doubled from 9 crores to 18 crores. Cash PAT has increased from 19 to 30 crores. So all the major metrics, we have shown the increase, and in terms of working capital number of days, we have reduced by another 3 days. There has been overall, if you see in terms of the balance sheet, while the revenue has gone up by 43% by compared to employee, you would have some questions, and I would like to clarify those questions in before. There has been increase in terms of employee expenses. The employee expenses have been predominantly increased on account of the new facilities that we have added in our ascent increments and the wage settlement agreement that we had at some of our plants. Depreciation has increased predominantly on account of the new CAPEX that we have added, which is not there in the corresponding Q1 FY22 last year. The finance cost, you continue to see a declining trend in terms of the finance cost as a percentage of the net sales. So finance cost has also decreased as a percentage of the net sales there. Overall, we had a good quarter, and we continue to do well with the growth keeping in mind. Thanks.
So should we open for Q&A?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nilesh Shah from Arrow Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations to the team at Pennar for a wonderful set of numbers. Very happy to see the kind of results that you have performed. So I have a couple of questions. Am I audible?
Yeah, please go ahead.
All right. Yes. So I think Mr. Srikanth clarified on the employee cost on the Ascent side. So that cost is now 69.6 crores, which was for the year. Last full year, we had around 200 crores as an employee expense. So are we going, in fact, in the last conference call, Mr. Aditya had mentioned that we would be probably lower than the 200 crores. So at this rate, it looks like we'll be at 250 crores plus for the entire year. Is there anything that you can give a forward-looking guidance on in terms of the employee expenses, one, and the overall profitability targets for the year? We are at 2% for the quarter in PAT margin. Is there anything that we'll be looking at in terms of PAT margins, or will we remain at these levels?
Thank you, Nileshi. The two questions you had was on what would our fixed costs for the year be, and from where we are right now, what would be the provision for the rest of the year, and with the 200 crores that we had last year, we would have that cost or a different cost. The second question you had was on our 2% PAT and potential improvements on that.
Yes.
The fixed costs for the year are not comparable in the sense that for Ascent specifically, which was one of the major reasons for the rise, and also wage settlements at our manufacturing plant. Those are two big factors which resulted in the increase. For Ascent, we have now started including our bonuses, which were primarily included in our variable costs and the fixed costs. So that's the reason for that. We can demarcate that and give a better breakup of it so we can, but it's not a fixed cost. It's actually a variable component to very good performance that we are seeing from our Ascent team. That being said, we do have measures in place to control our fixed costs. At this point, I would not be able to give you an exact number of what we would be at for the financial year. But I can assure you it's not going to be 250 crores or anything near that. A lot of the bonuses were taken, a lot of one-time events in this. And what you would see, will see, is moderation in fixed costs. And for the overall year, you should look at a number that's around what we had last year itself. We're not going to see a massive increase on that. Now, the caveats to this are increases in our engineering services and increases in our other subsidiaries. So if we do have events where we need to take a call to increase it, they may be small increases, but nowhere near the 250 number which we had mentioned. So we will keep you apprised of those changes as they come. But as of right now, we are projecting stability in fixed costs. And the increase that you see is primarily because of two reasons. Ascent bonuses and other one-time variable costs, which are now attributed in fixed costs based on our conversations with our auditor, and a wage settlement at our India manufacturing plants.
All right. Okay.
The question on your 2% PAT, you can, if you look at the last few quarters, I think you would have seen a consistent rise in our PAT margins. We can commit to further improvements on this. Our overall goal is to get to a net profit margin closer to 5%, which we think is appropriate for an engineering industry, and a net cash PAT margin of closer to around 7 to 8%, which is cash plus depreciation. So that is what we will work towards. Right now, we are about 3 to 350 basis points away from that from a cash PAT and a PAT point of view. But a lot of the revenue we are adding is high margin. So as our revenue scales, these numbers will tend to go up.
So would it be safe to assume a yearly guidance of 2,800 crores on the top line and something in the range of 4% net PAT?
Yeah, just give me a second to work that out. We will not be, effectively, if I say yes to that question, I will be effectively giving guidance for the year. What I can commit to is quarter-on-quarter improvement on PAT margin and revenue. So that I can commit to, but I would hesitate and please do excuse me, I will not give guidance for the whole year and PAT margins.
Yeah, one last question on the new acquisition in France. We had 180,000 euros. Was it a debt-free acquisition, or are we having any other incremental expenses in addition to the debt for that acquisition?
Just give me a second, sir. There is some amount of debt, but not a very material amount. We are talking single-digit low crores, sir. But we'll confirm the exact number to you. We've just completed the acquisition, but the consolidation with our balance sheet and our numbers hasn't happened. That happens from Q2 onwards. We will get back to you and also make sure all of our other investors and stakeholders are also aware of this number. But as of right now, there is a small amount of debt which is there with that company.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much for answering these questions, and I wish you all the very best for the year ahead. Thank you. That will be all from my side.
Thank you, Nilesh.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Ulas, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. You have announced a buyback of shares, and what I find is that at least for the before last 10 days, you were making hardly any buyback around 10,000 shares. Only during the last 10 days, I think the buyback has picked up to nearly 1 lakh shares, but the total quantity is still much below what we had sanctioned earlier by the shareholders. I think it was 50 crores. So can you explain why, what is your strategy of not fulfilling the total quota of the buyback if you feel that the share is underpriced, or if you want to reward the shareholders? I feel that the buyback should have been more aggressive, and you should try to complete your target of 50 crores. To add further, even in your previous buyback, when the stock price had crashed to around 15 or 18, I think you were not buying aggressively, and that was the best time for you to buy back. Unfortunately, I don't know for what reason, the management decided not to go ahead aggressively with the buyback. So can you explain what is your reasoning or strategy behind this buyback? Do you want to reward the shareholders? Or you just want to just show to the shareholders and to the public that you have announced a buyback? My second question is that in March 2019 and 2020, you had a profit before tax of 93 crores and 139 crores. I think the first quarter of the current year is one of the best years for most of the industries, including engineering industries. But unfortunately, as what I see the numbers, we are still nowhere near whatever profit EBT we had achieved in 2018 and 19. So can you explain or give reasons, what is the reason why even after such an inflationary environment, we are nowhere near the profit before tax of 2018 or 19? Thank you.
Okay, there were two questions you had asked. One was on the rationale for the buyback and perceived slow pace in us executing the buyback. And the second question was on our PBT scale-up, specifically how this financial year relates to our peak profit year, which is 2018. On the buyback, the board has taken a call that after their analysis to go ahead with announcing and executing a buyback. We have announced and we're executing a buyback. I can assure you we'll be fully compliant with all laws with relation to the buyback. And we have currently, as declared, we have our intention was to get to 80 lakh shares. We have bought back over 40 lakh shares. And we will continue to scale up purchases with a certain time frame that we have in mind. But I would not be able to comment on exactly how much amount we will spend and how many shares we will buy back. But I can assure you that we will be fully compliant with all relevant laws. Second, regarding the PBT, what we have this financial year and specifically in the first quarter and how it relates to the previous years, well, we're quite confident that we're at a long-term trend of PBT increase. We are also quite confident that we will be able to meet and cross our peak profit that we had recorded in previous years. And we are working to make sure that happens. There's a certain amount of cyclicality in this, so I would suggest not taking 4x of the first quarter. We tend to have a very strong fourth quarter. We also tend to have a good Q3 as well. So based on our current trends and our growth vectors, with our PB business doing quite well, with Ascent doing very well, with our tremendous amount of improvement in our BIW outlook, and our engineering services business doing well, hydraulics business doing well, I am quite confident that we will do better than our peak year soon. But having said that, we will not be giving any guidance for this financial year or beyond. But I can definitely commit to consistent growth and eventually crossing our peak profit, which we had achieved in about 3 years ago.
Yeah, sorry. My question on buyback was not on compliance side. My question was on what are the reasons why we are not completing our buyback sanction amount. Even in the previous buyback also, we did not complete the amount. And except for last 10 days, the progress on the buyback was very slow. So do you... Are there any reasons that why the management is going very slow on the buyback?
We have a certain mechanism in mind for the way we want to do the buyback. As I said before, we will be compliant. And I understand your question is not about compliance, but I can assure you we will be compliant. More than that, if I were to give you exactly what mechanism we would use and how much we're going to buy, that would be inappropriate in my view. So at this point, this is the information I'm okay with sharing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Vikram Suryavanshi from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations on good numbers, sir. We have seen significant improvement in profitability from subsidiaries also. So would it be possible to highlight which are the subsidiaries which are really seeing good traction and particularly comments on the PEBS? Are we seeing margin improvement also at PEBS or it is more on revenue traction and impact of that?
So the two questions, sir. Yeah, I think you asked how our subsidiaries are doing and specifically on PEB. Are we seeing margin improvement?
Yes.
Our subsidiaries which have done very well are Ascent. That is one of our subsidiaries which has done exceptionally well and is continuing to project a very high growth rate in terms of both revenue and in terms of profitability. And I'm quite confident that with increased scale-up of capacities, that business unit will continue to do well. Why I feel that this will happen is because
it's a combination of factors where we will be expanding capacity. We have an established presence and an execution capability now. And our market share is very, very low. So therefore, that gives us the, while that's a negative in one way, but I do take heart in the fact that we just started there. Because our market share is low, it offers us a lot of growth opportunities. So that's regarding our subsidiary performance. Regarding PEB specifically, the order books have gone up, revenue has gone up. Margins have remained stable. So the expansion or improvement in net margins for PEB has been because of scale and not because of any specific improvement in margins beyond maybe 100 basis points here and there. But going forward, we believe that that the low base effect will definitely come into play here. So I think what we see in line for our PEB business is a dramatic improvement in the overall net margins, consequently contributing quite well to the entire company's net margins because on the back of just revenue increase, because right now we are at a low PBT level primarily because our operating margins, though they're higher than 10%, our net is substantially lower. But as we increase revenue, I mean, even if we increase revenue by about 20, 30 crores, what drops down to bottom line or at least PBDT is our operating profit in that revenue. So any additional revenue is coming in at a reasonably high clip. So I'm quite confident that PEB net margins will improve, as will the entire company's net margins. And that's my answer.
And how on overall export we have done in this quarter, and particularly tubes as well as other export businesses. So if you can comment on that, I think that would also be helpful.
All of our export businesses have scaled up. Hydraulics has scaled up quite well, as has our engineering services business, which it's engineering services, it's design exports, you can call it that. And both of these business units will do well or even better in Q2. Our overall exports are at a peak. Overall, our international revenue should this year touch over $80 million. So it's quite encouraging.
Got it, yeah. And what kind of growth we are seeing on the engineering services? Or if it is possible, kind of revenue also?
Sure, I think we can share that. So our engineering services revenue on a per month basis, which is what I would say right now, is about 5.5 crores. We see this number going closer to 6 or 7 in the next couple of quarters. And the operating margins are quite strong. The net margins would be, you know, 20-30%. So it starts adding quite strongly to the PBT.
Got it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vijay Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my question. I would like to have a commentary from Aditya about how the trend on operating margin has behaved from FY16 to 22. There's been a significant drop in operating profits. What were the choices that we took which led to this drop, and how are you planning to recoup this? That's one. The second one is the Q1 of this year is a significant bump up in revenue, but still our operating margins are around 8%. What are we doing to take this up? And then when are we going to get to double-digit margins in spite of Ascent contributing, higher margin business contributing? Why are we still stuck at 8%?
Thank you. Your question, if I understood correctly, is about the margins, operating margins we had from 2016 and the decline in those margins up to the current year, which is 2022, and what the reasons for that margin decline was. And the second question you had was when we will get back to double-digit operating, which I'm going to interpret as double-digit EBITDA percentage. In 2016, through all the way up to 2018 and 19, a very big component of our profitability was our railways business. Specifically for the coach and wagon business, where we used to supply to ICF, MCF and other wagon manufacturers. These were high margin revenue. Now this revenue, due to a combination of factors, some part of it being
hysteresis on the part of the railway board, some part of it being increased competition from other vendors who were classified as part one suppliers, has resulted in a lot of uncertainty in their revenue and a decline in margins. So it was a double impact where the revenue from that business, which used to be about 400 crores per year, fell to something approaching 200 crores right now. And additionally, even the margins of that business, which used to be around 20%, fell from that to a lower number. So that, in effect, is the reason why 2016 to 2022, there was a fair amount of up and down in our margin profile. However, we are now much less dependent on the railways business unit or any one business unit for that matter for our profitability. We have several high margin businesses, and by high margin I mean businesses with an operating profit margin after variable, not EBITDA, but margin after variable north of 15%, north of 20%, in the case of services north of 30% also. So we have several of these contributing. And when we add revenue, which is of better quality, better margin, then consequently all of these things drop down to bottom line and tend to take our bottom line up. I fully agree that our net profit or even our cash PAT percentage, which is at around 4-4.5%, is low. So engineering companies typically tend to do substantially better than that. But in answer to your question of EBITDA reaching about 10%, we will achieve that in this financial year. Sustainably. Not a decline again, but we don't see any more risk like we had for railways in the future for our business, which is why if you look at post-pandemic, we've been committing and delivering on revenue and profitability increases. Railways, there are signs that there may be some comeback from that, but it is not an event that we are counting on, and honestly, we are moving away from government and PSU revenue and PNR, and most of our business, the vast majority of our growth, of our capex, of our revenue now will be private sector capex. So that's my answer to your question.
Okay. Thank you and good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nilesh Shah from Arrow Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. So just a follow-up question on something that is now, I mean, probably things that are not in our control in terms of how inflation is proceeding, how interest rates are rising across the world. We have had a 17-18% increase in our year-on-year interest cost, and overall we spend something like 80 crores on the interest that on the debt that we service, including your bills and discounting of bills and other things. So how well prepared are we to see if there is a further 0.5% to 1% hike in interest rates? Even our RBI has been increasing rates. Rates have gone up to 2.5% in the US, and probably the Fed is going to hike more rates. And how well prepared are we to actually absorb the impact of higher finance costs, given that, I mean, obviously, given the kind of higher revenue, the percentage of finance cost has decreased, but at a constant currency terms, we are still at around 80 crores per annum. If there is an increase of 0.5% to 1%, it will have a detrimental impact on the overall profitability. So how well are we prepared to ring fence around the finance costs? Is there anything that the company is planning ahead in terms of repayment of debt or reducing the overall debt? Or how well are you geared up to actually meet the rise in interest rates?
Okay. As you had mentioned, the vast majority of our debt is working capital debt, and the vast majority of that working capital debt is non-cash LCs. So effectively, as revenue increases, that number will increase. And we really do track, and I've mentioned this, I think, on our previous conference calls, we do benchmark ourselves for a certain percentage of profitability, which is high at, I think it's at 3.1 right now. It's on the higher side. I think a more appropriate number would be lower. I think that comes about by working capital efficiency. The working capital days reduction brings that under control. So in the event there is an interest cost rate hike, so what happens or the mechanism we have that brings that into control and make sure that we don't have a precipitous rise in interest costs without a corresponding increase or without any increase in revenue, the controlling factor that we have in that is the payment terms we offer our customers. So when interest costs increase, if we have a net capital cost of say 10% and that increases by 50 basis points, accordingly the amount of credit we can give our customers in terms of accounts receivable or the amount of inventory we can hold for our customers will be adjusted downwards. What that tends to do is effectively make sure that our overall interest cost as a percentage of our revenue stays constant or stays stable. And also means that obviously the rates are higher, that means the amount of non-cash and current short-term debt we use also declines. So that's the way we control for this. And we don't currently believe that even a 50 or 100 basis point increase in interest costs, even if that does come about, we will not see a precipitous increase in our interest costs because of that reason. Our interest costs will only go up if our revenue goes up. More importantly, you can count on that number 3.1% to be sustained and improved upon.
All right. Okay, so that answers quite a bit. So in the sense, if your working capital improves, obviously the debt levels will be maintained. We don't have an extra impact and our profitability is kind of ensured. Is that right?
That's correct, sir.
Okay, fine. So the second part of that question was on the inflationary impact of products as well. In fact, there has been a lot of drop in the commodity prices, especially steel and all. And we have got a higher amount of inventory. So is there any reduction or arrangements with customers that you have to downsize or rebring the orders back to a little bit lower level? Are any customers demanding a lower price? Or are we still going ahead with the existing orders in the same pro rata that we have received?
So we do not believe, we monitor all the risks that can potentially affect our revenue and profit projections and cash flow projections. And we do not see raw material price variations or any inflation trend on those as metrics that will strongly impact our profitability. The reasons for that is twofold. One, while we hold substantial inventory, all of that is usually on the back of order books that are already in place. So there's no price revision if the price, you know, happens to fall, so you're not stuck holding onto high cost inventory. Second thing that does happen is we do have quarterly rate contracts. So when there's a price increase or a price decrease, we have the ability to play within a quarterly contract pricing and also spot market pricing. So if spot market price is lower, we tend to buy more from our spot market suppliers. If our quarterly price is higher, then we tend to go with is lower, we tend to go with quarterly. So that affords us some immunity in a sense, partial, not total, to any volatility in raw material price, whether that be appreciation or depreciation. As of right now, actually people are projecting a slight decrease of over 3-4% in some of our raw material pricing, and we don't believe that will impact our margins. In fact, in the last 1 year, I'm sure you're aware that specifically steel prices and other commodity prices have been on a little bit of a roller coaster ride. And even when the price increases have been 20, 25, 30% in a quarter, which happened, I think, over the last 1 year, we have not had a corresponding impact on our inventory or write-down. So we are quite secure in that. We are a quick pass-through. A very large increase or a very large decrease may have a one-month impact on some portion of that, but it will not, our quarterly numbers will not be impacted because of raw material price variations. We are very careful that we watch for that.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dinesh, an individual investor. Please go ahead. Dinesh, your line is in talk mode. Kindly go ahead with your question, please. Seems like we lost the connection for the current participant. A reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Ulas Master, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi. It's just a follow-up question on whatever guidance or indications you've given. There are two, three questions on the margin front. One is that in one of our major line of business, Cube Investment is one of our main competitor. I believe Cube Investment has done very well. So how does our operating margin compare with Cube Investment? Secondly, on the margin front again, excluding the railway business, how does our margin, present margin, or even the margin for the first quarter compared with the peak margin of 2018 and 19? And the third question would be, I believe earlier, one of the earlier con calls, you had given some indication of some unutilized land. I think it was around 150, 170 acres. Correct me if I'm wrong. So where is it located? And what is the present approximate market price per acre? And how close it is to the land which we sold a couple of years back? Thank you.
Thank you. There are three questions asked. One was a comparison of our product profile and margin profile to Tube Investments. The other was, if I understood correctly, a margin comparison of our current margin operating versus what we had in 2018, I think, was the year that you used. And the third was on free land assets that the company possesses. Regarding Tube Investments, Tube Investments is a company like us which has a very broad product profile. The areas which we do compete in is in CDW tubes and in special grade CR. From a revenue point of view, those are very large business units for TI, and also TI has some product capabilities within those verticals which we don't currently have but are trying to build. This means some special grade alloys which they make which we don't, and also in large diameter tube, 8 inch plus, that is something that TI provides that we do not. Our margins are comparable. We both supply to the Indian automotive industry. We both export to the US. Our operating margins with them are comparable. But if you are comparing the entirety of Tube Investments to us, I think it would be important to bear in mind that Tube Investments has multiple other businesses which don't compete with us. They have a cycle business which is different from us. They have a consumer electronics business with their acquisition of Crompton which is different from us. And they also have a lot of automotive door and frame businesses, which perhaps now with our DIW line, it's not exactly competition, but it's in a similar ancillary business. So the comparison of our tube CDW output alone and a special grade output alone can be made. But in my view, and I may be wrong on this, but I'm not sure that, I know we don't, but I don't know if TI also reports those as a separate segment. So it would be difficult for us to compare. But from what I know of the market, it is my impression that we source similar operating margin after variables. So there are scale differences as well where contribution may be comparable, but EBITDA may not be. The second question, which is on the margins comparison now versus 2018, I don't have my 2018 numbers right now, but I can guide you to, as I've said previously, our railways business being the dominant contributor to profitability back in 2016, 17, and 18, it would be lower right now. However, with the growth of our higher margin businesses on the net profit basis, on an EBITDA basis, and also on the operating profit basis, we are not far away from climbing back up to where we were at a larger scale as well, which will make sure that we cross, as I answered to your question previously, we are aiming to cross and substantially grow over our peak profitability in the previous years. So that is the second question. The third question on the I think you call it unutilized land. I can give you an idea of the total land assets we have, but I would not be able to provide commentary on the current land prices. Pinar has plants across India. We have plants in the US, we have now have plants in Europe as well. In India, right now, the total land assets we have, some of it used, some of it not used, would be closer to about 350 acres. And I would not be able to provide commentary on the exact value of that land. As you are aware, we have, or you might be aware, I think you have mentioned it, we have disposed of some land that we have not been using, about 5 acres, and we did it at a certain price. This is about 3 years ago, and my understanding is that there's been a substantial appreciation on land value on top of that. Since those are the statements of fact I can comment on as far as the land is concerned, precise valuation I will not be able to comment, sir.
No, my question was on the unutilized land and not utilized land. And secondly, about the margin front also, I wanted you to compare our operating margin excluding the rail business between 2018 and the current margin.
Okay. So if you exclude the railway business, our current margins would be superior to what we had in for all other business units, would be on an overall superior basis. Now, we do have multiple revenue streams, each one having its own margin profile.
So we will endeavor to get that clarity to you at a later time, and we'll communicate that to all of our investors as well. But on an overall basis, I can definitely say our margins right now, if you look at our contribution margins for the whole company, would be 15% plus. And at that point of time, it was slightly south of 15%. So it is higher now than it was before.
And the land part?
Land part, I will not be able to comment further than what I said, sir. I understand your question is unutilized land. We don't classify it that way. We treat it as laid on area. Rather than misspeak and give you a wrong number, I would suggest we, that is the amount, that is the information we can comment on right now. The total land assets we have. That's it.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for their closing comments.
So thanks to every one of you who have asked us questions. We are glad to have you on board as we continue on our growth journey. I've taken note of all of your questions and your comments, and I believe we're in very broad agreement that we need to make sure that our margins improve, our capital efficiency improves, and also that we cross the peak profitability we generated in previous years. I would like to commit to you on behalf of management that that remains our priority. It remains our goalpost. And again, on behalf of the management, I will commit that on the following quarters, we will continue to see consistent improvement in our revenue and profitability growth while making sure that we are capital efficient. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, that concludes this conference. We thank you all for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.